Well, we're going to have a baptism this morning. I guess. Did we get it going? I can't hear it. You know, they were concerned that it would make noises in the background. I told them I would be noisier, so we wasn't worried about that. Well, as I expressed in the halftime, we're trying to figure out what's going on when we're dealing with winning souls. What's going on? What's God doing? What are we doing? What's happening? I think that helps us a lot in our soul winning. And it makes us sensitive to it. On my phone and my texting, I'm getting a text from a certain Gideon. And the name of Brother Stephen? Well, I'm not good with remembering names, am I? Now, it's not anybody here, but he sends me a text and he's praying for me. He's praying for our church. And he talks about the work of the Gideons. And he talked about their work out at the fair, their work at the university when it opened, talked about the number of Bibles that they put out there. You know how important it is to get the Word of God out? Nothing happens spiritually if at first you don't present the Word of God. There's something magical, supernatural, about the Word of God. Now, that was my main thesis as I spoke last time. Remember, I opened it up talking about Bible being something alive. It is alive. It works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, you know, we got the Bible by, what does it say in 2 Timothy, I think, chapter 3 and verse 16. You'll get that up there. We'll read that in just a moment. We did last week. We talked about it, and it's very important to drive it home. I know that the first time you hear it, the second time you hear it, the third time you hear it, and so forth, you don't get the whole thing. We have to go through it over the years, before we really absorb these things and finally really learn these things. And then I have to recover it again. Anyway, that passage says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it's given by inspiration of God. The people who wrote this stuff down and expressed it to begin with, those people were inspired of God. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired them. These are the very words that God has put out here. And chosen to share with us about things. He didn't say everything Abraham said. He didn't say everything many people said. But he is the one who made the decision to put those dialogues there. And he utilizes all that information and brings it out and makes it a reality to us. He validates it in our hearts and in our minds by supernatural means. You cannot understand and realize the things of God through the Word of God except by a special supernatural operation of the Spirit of God who works in conjunction with the Bible. The Bible is unique above all literature. I emphasized that last time, didn't I? And I explained this last time. I want you to understand, this isn't just like any other document. It is Holy Spirit inspired, and the Holy Spirit goes to work in conjunction with it when it is expressed, and the information in it is printed in our brain. It's no different than any other literature when it comes to being printed in our brain. In other words, as I read Shakespeare, if I read any other document that's written up, or if it comes into my being in some way of my cognizance or the way that I realize things, it'll be imprinted in my brain. But only the Word of God, when it's imprinted in our brains, does the Holy Spirit go to work in conjunction with that to make this Bible meaningful and to work the works of God in our being and in our life. It's as though there's a, when the Word, the Bible says that whenever we hear the Word of God, God's Spirit works to make it valid for us. Now, I've got a particular passage, and he begins to do a work within us. It's as if the Word of God is sort of a computer. It's like it works in conjunction as a computer. You got a supercomputer up here, a super mind, which is God's mind, right? And His mind, He's omniscient. His understanding is infinite. He's omniscient. He knows all of the things that there is. He has the brain capacity, or shall we say the ability to receive all the information and therefore conclude correctly about everything. Only He has truth. And that means He understands how it really, really is. Man's capability is so limited that if we strive to try to understand the great universals, our best ability to do that within our own resources is imagination. Not reality, but imagination. The only thing that we get that is truth and reality is what we get through the Word of God concerning the... What is the condition of man? What is the dilemma of man? What is the solution to that dilemma? Where we came from, where we're going? What's our destiny? Only God knows that. And whenever the Word of God comes into us, there's a stimulation like a transmission from my mind to the mind of God. And He responds to that. And He functions in our mind. He makes reality things that we can't realize. It's a remarkable thing. Now, what I want to do is take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, when we want to win a soul, God's got to be involved. God's got to be involved. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you know who I am, you could ask me for the gift that I have. You have to know I've got a gift. You have to have a sense of what that gift is. And then if you know who I am, you could ask me and I'd give it to you. Now, we talked to you last time that the reason you have to know who He is because you must know who He is before you can put any your confidence in Him. And God says we can ask Him. Are we having trouble again? Oh, my goodness. Did I knock it off again? Apparently so. Thank you. It's very important for us to remember these things. And I've categorized that there's three levels of interaction that humanity has with God. There's the first interaction, which is instinct. And that is that we know there is a God. Now, I'm going to take you, and then the next level of interaction is to find out who He is. Who He is. So that we can put our trust in Him. We have to put our trust in Him. Anything that we do toward God has to be, that we're going to get a positive reaction, has to be with an attitude of full confidence in His promises. He says, I'll do this for you. I'll give you the gift of everlasting life, but you've got to know who I am. You've got to understand that this is a real gift, that this is a real happening, that this is a real possibility. And you can't know that if you don't know who He is. Isn't that correct? You can only come to God in unbelief. You're always going to have a doubt if you don't know for sure who He is. You understand? And so that's the key to us being fully persuaded with what God promised He will do. We cannot be fully persuaded that Christ can deliver it unless we know who He is. So we can't ask Him. And that's all you have to do. Ask Him. Give me the gift of eternal life. But you have to do it with an attitude of being fully persuaded. That means belief. Believing in the Bible isn't the idea of our vernacular use of it. Belief in vernacular, as it's generally used in the English language today, is, I don't know, I think I'm just going to put my trust in this just in case. That's not the way it is. You can only put your trust in the biblical effective way if you know for sure, fully persuaded what He promised He would do. And we do not, as human beings, have that capacity. But God can function toward us in a supernatural way when the Word of God is delivered and printed in our mind. Then something happens that the stimulus comes to God to begin to work in my mind to give me absolute awareness of something I could not. I'm not equipped in my natural self to have. That is full confidence who He is. He did give us some help in His design of us. He gave us the help of being given instinct that there is a God. That's universal. You don't have to train anybody that there's a God. You have to train them that there's not a God, but you don't have to train them that there is a God. Because it's instinctive. It's a priori established in our mind. Now, I'm going to take you over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's see, we want to start about verse 9 or so. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting about verse 9. Now, the first level then of knowledge of God is instinctive. But we don't know who He is. And if we don't know who He is, we can't put our confidence in Him. Then the next level of knowledge, and the primary level of knowledge God wants to achieve with us, because it is the result of salvation, is the knowledge, knowing Him. Now, I keep stressing this because a lot of people don't think of the distinction between knowing about Him and knowing who He is, and the final level, which is to know Him. A personal acknowledgement, a personal transaction between God and us in our minds and in our hearts. Now, that last level is impossible for the natural man. Now, what is the natural man? Well, the natural man is something we're going to talk about here in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. And let's start our reading in verse 9. But as it is written, that's a significant thing when we're talking about a biblical pronouncement. Something written in the Bible. As it is written. Now, we can rely upon its validity because it is supernaturally presented to mankind. Supernaturally by God. It is not a natural thing. It comes from the mind that knows everything. A reliable source. And it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, there's no love of God in our being. In our natural being, there is no love of God. Love of self is the dominating factor. So, God's got something for those people prepared. God has the urge and desire for men to know Him, to understand the things about Him. But we don't, and we can't, except upon the salvation of a person. If you're saved, you now are changed in such a way that you will be able to take the information that God gives and understand it in the terms of spirituality. Right now, the lost and the primary learning of man is done by the association that we have with the physical universe. Not the spiritual universe, the spiritual universe. The physical universe is something that we can connect with. And God created it for that very purpose, so that there would be a means for Him to reach a creature who could not perceive in terms of the spiritual. Why? Because the natural man is a sinner. He has sinned and offended God the Father. And He has to separate Himself from us. That's the definition of spiritual death. When human spirit, the body, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And our spirit is disconnected from God. And our spiritual life is a transmission from God's being directly to us. We don't have to have food and we don't have to have other things. That life that is spiritual, that energy that produces that, comes directly from God to us. You understand? And when we're disconnected from God, the Bible defines that as spiritual death. And it's the primary death. Now, you understand? Is that brand new stuff for you? Hopefully it's not for most of you that are here. But that's the idea that God wants us to have. The natural man is the one that has sinned. He has been disconnected from God. God disconnected man from Him. Because if He sustained that connection with us, He would have to condemn us and destroy us. And bring the penalty of our crime down upon us. And that penalty is an infinite price. or however you want to look at it, because God is an infinite God. We're guilty of the highest level of crime when we do a crime against God. Now, that means we will suffer eternally because we're finite. You understand that? And God wants to eliminate that. He wants to give us spiritual life. He wants us to be born again of the Spirit. Do you understand? We were designed to have a relationship with God in the spiritual world and in the physical world. He designed us both ways. The body causes us to be capable of interacting with the physical and understanding things. And our primary way of understanding things is always in conjunction to the physical world. You understand that? We learn by association with what can be familiar with. And then repetition. And then extension. It's like that. It's not quite like this, but it's similar to that. And you understand by extension? That's how we learn. Now, we have no way of thinking in the terms of establishing the same kind of a learning process about the spiritual universe. We can't understand the spiritual things. Our person who is natural and dead spiritually, we have no way of direct association with the thinking of God. He can't communicate to us. We can't learn it. We can't know Him. He wants to reestablish that relationship with us because He loves us. He wants to receive love from us. What do you think is the most important thing to you if you love that guy? You want to be loved back, don't you? God had the desire. The Bible says His nature includes love. What was His propensity, His urge to create us? It was to express that love and to receive a returned expression of our love for Him. You understand? But there's no connection. And He desires that connection. Now, so what is the natural man? The spiritually dead man who does not have the mentality to be able to connect with the thoughts and the mind of God and the fellowship with God. And that's the highest level of knowledge. The knowledge there is a God. Who that God is, and we have to know that before we can be saved. And if we respond to that, then we're born again. We have a new inner nature again. It's alive, and we're in connection with God, and the understanding of the things of the Spirit comes directly now, not through the association, but through the communication between God and us, because we've been rewired, recreated in our inner mind, our spiritual aspect of our thinking and capability. And that's what this particular passage here is teaching us and dealing with. It says, but as it is written, and you can depend upon it if it's from the Word of God. It comes from Him. Nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. When we reach the point where we are innervated or in some way adjusted, then we will love Him. And when we love Him, we'll know Him. And so it says that, but God revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What we haven't even imagined, God can transmit unto us all of His thinking to be downloaded into our sense of realization. You know, my entire doctoral effort on learning about the eyes of the limulus was really aimed at trying to figure out how the brain works so that we see something and know what it is. Did you know that all that is a bunch of electromagnetic energy that's radiated from the sun or generated otherwise? And then it's got different frequencies and colors. And it's got different intensities. You might get a shaded area or lightly shaded or darkly shaded. And you see forms. And you can say, oh, that's why I haven't seen her for a while. There she is. And I recognize her as a person, as a human being. And all that I got was electromagnetic radiation. You understand? Electromagnetic radiation. And it got into my retinas, neurals, nerve system. And by the way, it's interesting to me that the eyes have the only nerve tissue that is the same as your brain. Oh, that's a clue. It's a part of your brain. It starts the process of deciding what that is that's out there. So you get that information and it forms into a projection on the back of your brain, the visual cortex. It's upside down, but it's already the image. And that image traces itself in through the brain, and you get association with something you've already seen and already know about. And so you're going to make, through the logical processes of your brain, the conclusion what you saw. It's a remarkable thing. Just the conclusion. You can't do that with the things of God. There is nothing to compare it with physically. You understand? We're going to have a brain that has the capability of taking spiritual information and bringing the spiritual connotation to the conclusion. We can't do that. We're not equipped. We're dead spiritually. Are you with me? But God has a way of doing it in His brain and coming and downloading the conclusion of the matter. He goes through the logical processes, and that's far beyond anything that we could possibly do, and gives us a conclusion about it. And we're sitting there, oh, yes, Jesus truly is God in the flesh. How could we ever really know that? But you do in a supernatural way, because of a supernatural process that takes place, that first of all begins with your hearing or imprinting the information of the Word of God in your mind. It transmits to God and says, hey, we got the data there. And He processes it and brings us a conclusion for you. And you're thinking, yeah, He is. And you could well ask, how is it that I know? But I do know. And you might conclude, well, maybe this is superstition. And you may be turned aside. A child typically doesn't do that. That's why the Lord says we need to be as a child. Because Satan has laid... I went through a period of time in my life as a Christian. I thought, well, maybe this is all superstition and etc. And I don't want to give in to this. And I didn't want anybody to be around to try to stimulate me to do it. But then the Lord, He Himself, did a work on me in which He showed me His reality. Because I had that mind. Now let's look and see what mind it is. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Then it says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now what's He trying to say? In other words, it's trying to say, well, he is a capable person to perceive it and to transfer it. And it says, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, God knows Himself better than anybody else. And if you want information about Him, go to His Spirit. Huh? Anyway, let's go right on down. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh. The Spirit communicating with us and allowing us to know the things of God. From God's perspective. From God's perspective. We could only know God otherwise from our perspective, which is imagination, guesswork. And then it says, and oh, by the way, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. When you quit paying attention to God, then you lose your perception spiritually. You're going to have to discover and imagine how things are. It reminds me of the great mythology of evolution. That's the most unscientific thing in the world because you cannot prove the evidence. They start out with an assumption that there is no God. You can't do that in true science. You have to allow the possibilities of anything and objectively accept it as it comes. There's nothing rational and reasonable about that mythology. But here it says, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, we're not having to, that particular method of knowledge or gaining it does not require that we go through the things of this earth and associate and come to conclusions with just almost no portion of all that there must need to be known to come to a conclusion. That's rational. We're not equipped for it. Then it says, but the natural man. Now that means that we really do have to understand what the natural man is. The natural man is a man that's alive physically, but dead spiritually. They've lost connection with God. They've lost the equipment necessary, the mentality necessary, if it was connected with God. We could understand spiritual things in terms of the spiritual rather than try to do it in terms of the physical and association with those things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't know them. It's impossible. Because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I'm thinking about a particular verse right now, Ephesians chapter 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, and you hath he made alive who were dead, or he said quickened, made alive, quickened who were, what? And you hath he quickened who were made alive. Am I quoting that correctly? And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, those people were alive physically, weren't they? They weren't dead physically, but the scriptures are saying they were dead. Dead how? Dead spiritually. They had put their trust in Christ. They had successfully asked Christ with the right motivation and the right attitude, because that's, God's more interested in motivation and attitude than the actual behavior, isn't he? He looketh upon the heart when he evaluates us. And so here we have then the situation where we've got a dead individual. That is, they are now alive. You are now alive, who were dead. And we have to understand that the person was alive physically, but dead spiritually. And having trusted Christ and been born again, they are now alive spiritually and physically. That defines what the natural man is. The average person walking around on this earth, physically alive, but lost as a goose, or dead spiritually. You understand? That person has no capacity whatever in his natural self to even imagine the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, that know him. No idea. And they have no capacity to do it because they are dead spiritually. Now, what happens when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? We're born again. Ye must be born again, Jesus said. And Nicodemus says, you mean I got to go back to my mother's womb to be born again? See, the Lord knew he was dealing with a fellow he had to communicate with in terms of what? This present world. So he used the association of birth. But he was going to have to manipulate in some way to realize there's a shortcoming here that's going to have to happen. Nicodemus was troubled of his heart. That's why he came to see Jesus. He knew his theology and he knew his religious system was not giving him peace. He thought he'd go and check out this new theologian. And Jesus' first statement was, you know, I don't think Nicodemus asked any questions, did he? He says, you know, you're going to have to be born again. That's the primary need of the lost person. You're going to have to be born again. Your problem is you're dead as a doornail spiritually. And that's Nicodemus started by taking an association, didn't he, of the physical mind to try to bring him to some conclusion that's going to enable him to take an action that will be effective. Because here he is, a guy trying to do everything that he possibly can in this world to be good and do all the things necessary that he feels will get him peace. And the Lord simply said, well, it's a genetic problem. It's a genetic problem. You're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to acquire a new nature. A new nature. And he said, it's a spiritual thing, Nicodemus. This is John chapter 3. It is a, well, you're going to have to be born of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. I mean, you have to be born of the Spirit. Your spirit's dead as a doornail. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have the Holy Spirit come into your life, perform a miracle to man, supernatural event, that will recreate in you a new spirit, a live spirit. Because you got the bad genetics which caused God to separate Himself from you. See? And so now you're going to have to be born entirely of a new spirit. Well, of course, the Lord said to Nicodemus when he said, wow, I clearly didn't understand this. And the Lord says, hey, listen, you mean you're a teacher or a master of Israel and you didn't know these things? This is something that people ought to have known all the way back. This wasn't a brand new idea. And that might startle you. But I've discovered that Job, who was back in the days of Abraham, said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's a supernatural thing that happened to that man back yonder, 1900 B.C. or thereabout. Sometime in there, I presume. It goes all the way back to Adam. However, if you'll read Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, you'll find that it does go clear back to Adam. That knowledge went back to Adam. That there is such a thing as a new birth, a spiritual birth, a recreation in the pattern of who? Christ's genetics. That's why he's called the last Adam. Adam, a precursor. A genetic precursor. He is a genetic precursor of the new birth, the spiritual birth. We're born after the pattern of the genetics of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord God and righteous. If you've been born of that new spirit, it's a righteous spirit. And that's where your connection with God, the Father, is now. We're immediately back in connection with God the Father. We're immediately having transferred the life energy directly from the Lord. You understand? It immediately occurs. Happens like that. Quickly. He that hath my command. Let's see. John chapter 5 verse 24. He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Why is it everlasting? Because the Heavenly Father is looking at you in your spirit, isn't he? In your heart. And he's saying, oh, I believe I recognize that. That's my son who cannot sin. It's established for eternity. There will never be a fall. That's why you have the security of the believer. That's the root of all principles of the security of the believer. And then he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are for foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, and the natural man is dead as a doornail. It takes a supernatural event. Then it says, but he that is spiritual, or that is, has spiritual life. He's not talking about just a spiritually acting person, but a person who is truly spiritual is one who has been born again of the Spirit of Christ. And then it says, yet he himself is judged of no man. In other words, we see it like it is, finally. How is it that we're seeing it like it is, finally? We've obtained something very significant. And here's what it is. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, that is the explanation of the reason that we now know God, know him, interact. We understand the issues of the scriptures now. We have the capacity. It takes work because you're born as a babe. You have to mature. And as you mature, you gain greater and greater insights now into the thoughts of God and the implications of those things. It may no longer seem foolishness. Now they make sense because they make sense in light of the greater perspective of all that there is that comes from the mind of God. That's why we know him, that I may know him, that I may know him. I know whom I have believed. It isn't conjecture. And I know about this person. I talk with him. I walk with him. He's interacted with me. Because I have a new mentality, a new piece of machinery that God has transferred and created. That's what it means to be created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works means for the purpose of giving us the desires to do the right thing. That's the inner man. It's referred to as the inner man of Romans chapter 7. That's the reason that we want to reach that point. That's what God wants to accomplish. Because everything that's involved in salvation is made significant through a new mentality. We need to exercise that. We need to learn how to exercise it. And that's one of the things that I hope to do in this series, is to talk to you about it. That is now a possibility in your life. You have now the capability of utilizing that, but you have to mature to do that. It comes with a greater and greater quality of knowing and fellowship as we grow spiritually. How do we grow spiritually? Well, we grow spiritually whenever we yield ourselves to God and do His will.
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.